From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kulhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica Radio stations and affiliates nationwide. The online retail giant Amazon, for the first time, disclosed its annual median worker salary in April, as mandated by post-recession government regulation. While the company's managers and marketers make on average more than $100,000 a year, the median employee pay is on the order of only $28,000. This means that the rest of Amazon's workers, the massive army of warehouse workers that stuff boxes at gigantic fulfillment centers around the country, make very little money. In fact, new data has found that at the same time as Amazon will start accepting online orders using food stamps, a staggeringly large percentage of the corporation's own workers rely on food stamps. My guest is Claire Brown. She is a staff writer for the New Food Economy, focusing on food policy and the environment. Her reporting has won awards from the Newswoman's Club of New York and the New York Press Club. Her article in The Intercept is called Amazon Gets Tax Breaks While Its Employees Rely on Food Stamps, New Data Shows. Welcome to the program, Claire.
Thank you so much for having me.
So how did you find out what percentage of Amazon's own workers rely on food stamps? I'm assuming that this data might not be easy to come by and that Amazon isn't revealing it itself.
No. So I saw a little news bit in January coming out of Ohio saying that 1 in 10 food stamps recipients, or 1 in 10 Amazon employees in Ohio rely on the program. And I said, that's interesting. I wonder if that's true in other states. So I submitted public records requests to the Department of Health or whatever relevant department exists in 30 different states. And most of them didn't get back to me, but 5 of them responded and gave me the number of Amazon employees that have food stamps, as well as the number of employees of a bunch of different companies. What was actually much harder to find was how many total employees Amazon has. So I used some numbers from the company, and then I used an investigation from the American Cities Business Journals from October 2017, where they filed, I think, 800 public records requests trying to figure out how many people Amazon actually employs. So I did some calculations, and then I went with the more conservative numbers to figure out, you know, what proportion of Amazon employees use food stamps. And in Arizona, it was about 1 in 3. And in Pennsylvania and Ohio, it was about 1 in 10.
So in a state like Arizona, 1/3 of its workers are relying on food stamps to get by. This is quite incredible. What is the implication of this sort of irony that Amazon's own workers could start placing online orders for food using their food stamps through their employer? I mean, on the one hand, of course, on the surface, there's a deep irony there, but what does it signify about Amazon's business model?
Well, it essentially means that Amazon subsidized twice. The first time it's subsidized through the federal government when it supplements essentially their employees' paychecks. And then it's subsidized again when it directly profits from the food stamps program. So it's just making a whole lot of money off, or it will be making a whole lot of money off this one program that it also uses to supplement its own wages. This has been something we've seen with Walmart forever, but it's interesting with Amazon because they don't yet accept food stamps as a form of payment. And that's because the program just hasn't gone online yet. There's a pilot program launching later this year where it'll be in 8 states. And then the plan is to expand that across the nation.
So I'm so glad you brought up Walmart, because that's exactly what I was thinking. It used to be several years ago, Walmart was the sort of corporate, the symbol of exactly how cruel and heartless a massive company can be, offering very, very cheap goods to customers, the price of which was very, very low wages to its own workers, workers who were advised by their corporation of all the ways in which they could take advantage of government programs. Now, of course, it's important to have those government programs, but usually those are programs for people who can't get jobs or might be stuck, can't get full-time jobs. You have companies that could probably afford to pay their workers a decent wage, but are literally choosing not to because they are, you know, here's a government program that could pay them instead. So I think the Walmart comparison is quite fair. But of course, Amazon's office workers don't have to rely on food stamps. What is the difference between, you know, the people who work in Amazon headquarters and those who work in warehouses? How stark is the salary difference?
Well, as you mentioned at the top of the show, we found out just a couple of days ago when Amazon released its quarterly report that the average wage, I have it written down, is $28,446. Sorry, that's not the average wage. That's the median wage, means that half of its workers are making less than that. But when it advertised its HQ2, its second headquarters, which it's planning to open in an as yet undetermined city, it said the average compensation is $100,000. So the people...
How convenient.
Yeah, I will add, though, that its warehouse workers do have access to health care. They have maternity and paternity leave, and Amazon will give them some educational benefits. So they're not without benefits, but the wages are quite low.
So in terms of how we have to view Amazon, it's quite different from Walmart in one sense, because it is a purely online retailer. Well, of course, now it's with its buyout of Whole Foods, that's changing a little bit. But for the most part, it still remains by and large an online retailer. The question of whether Amazon actually pours money back into the treasury, which is, you know, into the government treasury, is a big issue. Now, Donald Trump has strongly critiqued Amazon for not paying enough sales tax. And this has been a huge controversy. Can you explain how Amazon responds, or what justification it offers to the critique that it doesn't pay enough sales taxes?
Mm-hmm. So Amazon was able to take advantage of a constitutional loophole when it first was established, which states that you only have to collect sales tax in states where you have a physical presence. So if it sets up shop in Washington and then delivers to California, it doesn't have to pay sales tax when it sells to people living in California. Now, states have actually started to close that loophole, meaning as of April 2017, it was paying state income tax in all the states where it does have a physical presence, but it was able to then leverage the fact that it was going to start paying taxes to secure really generous subsidies and tax cuts from state and local governments. So since, you know, the New York Times reported on corporate subsidies in 2012, and Amazon had something like $350 million in wow. state and local subsidies. Now, in the last 5 years, as the loopholes have closed, that number has more than tripled. And the Business Journal's report that we found that it had received more than $1.2 billion in subsidies.
Wow. So we talked about the double subsidy of food stamps, making money off of food stamp purchases, and its workers relying on food stamps, paying its workers so little that they have to rely on food stamps. It seems as though it's a triple subsidy if you count the tax breaks that it's getting.
Yeah, it paints quite a stark picture when you start adding up all of the money. And then I will add that it also managed to avoid paying federal income tax. It paid $0 in federal income tax in 2017, which is, again, a contrast to Walmart, which, because of the way it's set up, Walmart actually has to pay pretty close to the formerly 35% corporate income tax.
Right, so that has changed with the tax reform law, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. So it's not contributing to the safety net in the way that Walmart is.
So those of us, you and I, who don't get the same kinds of tax breaks that a giant corporation like Amazon does, we pay taxes that goes into the treasury that pays for all sorts of programs. Amazon is essentially paying much, much less than it should. Sometimes we say a broken clock is correct twice a day. Is Trump correct on his criticism of Amazon?
A lot of... Like many things the president tweets, there are kernels of truth in what he says. There have been lots and lots of critiques online about his specific analysis of the Postal Service. So I'm not quite ready to go on the record and say
right.
that he
and I should just mention he
accurate.
His critique around sales tax has been linked to the deal between Amazon and the U.S. Postal Service. So he's linking that issue and the post. There's a whole other story there. In fact, there was a Good Nation magazine article about the U.S. Postal Service and its deal with Amazon that came out before Trump's critiques. Not that I think Trump reads The Nation, but yeah, that. So, but in general, just the sales tax part of it is an issue that needs to be addressed, right?
Well, the sales tax issue is differs state by state. A lot of them have started collecting sales tax recently, but the total impact on the tax base is absolutely an issue that all of the experts I spoke to for this article kept reiterating. You know, this is a real issue. This massive subsidy is for this corporation.
So how do we, how does this all fit within the fact that Amazon is, you know, is a company with very large ambitions? This is a company that wants to be a marketplace of everything. It wants to basically have a giant monopoly on all things retail. Used to be a bookseller. Now you essentially, you buy anything on Amazon and they make, you know, entertainment content. They're making movies and TV shows and they're now selling groceries, accepting food stamps. It's a company with huge ambitions. It's already expanding so vastly. If Amazon continues unchecked while getting these multiple government subsidies, what are the implications, you think, for a company like this and for the country to have a company like this?
Mm-hmm. One of the things that one of my sources pointed out to me was, you know, it's kind of changed what it means to be a warehouse worker or what you get paid to be a warehouse worker. There were two different studies that I looked at for this story that showed that it actually pays about 10% less than other warehouse jobs in the areas where it operates. So there's some evidence that it's driving down wages in the warehouse industry. And then interestingly, it's starting to expand into shipping, where a lot of the workers today are unionized. And so one of my sources was pointing out, you know, if it uses this same labor model, this race to the bottom labor model, and expands into the shipping industry, then it's gonna essentially disrupt a whole nother sector of the workforce.
So there is, as you mentioned, this strong race around the country to have the second Amazon headquarters based there. Cities are falling over themselves to offer bigger and bigger breaks to Amazon because somehow they're convinced that having Amazon expand to their city would be a big financial boon to the city. What about Seattle, where Amazon's headquarters are currently based? One of the city council members in Seattle, Kshama Sawant, has critiqued Amazon quite strongly. She led a protest earlier this month. She called she accused Amazon of turning Seattle into a playground for the rich. Are her critiques valid?
You know, I haven't really looked into Seattle and I've never been there, but, you know, I do know that Jeff Bezos chose Washington because of its, you know, relative small size and its tax base. So the implications of HQ2, you know, you are getting tons of new jobs and probably that will have some sort of trickle effect. High paid workers will support other parts of the economy. But I think, you know, as these states offer billions of dollars in subsidies to Amazon, it's worth thinking about what else the company will bring when it comes to town, right?
Right. There was an interesting piece in ABC News about how Amazon's office workers in its Seattle headquarters are allowed to bring their dogs to work. A very stark juxtaposition between those images and the images of warehouse workers in its fulfillment centers. And I'm wondering if you think that that difference between these two sets of workers and, you know, very strongly sort of reflects the existing inequality that, you know, exists in the US and that Amazon is fueling.
Yeah, I think it paints a really interesting picture. And, you know, it's so funny in the media, Amazon is often compared to the other tech giants who have these really cushy jobs, these big sprawling campuses, all of the amenities. I think LinkedIn rated Amazon the number one place to work this year. And all of that coverage really does obscure the fact that the majority of its workforce is working long shifts at these warehouses where, you know, there's not been much positive press coverage about the working conditions. And so it plays into the company's hands when the press covers dogs at work and lavish headquarters and perks for corporate workers when there's this whole other set of the workforce that isn't enjoying the same benefits.
There was another article that was also bizarrely pointed out that one of the break rooms for workers at an Amazon fulfillment center had motivational words painted on its walls. Those words included dive deep. One was insist on the highest standards. And the third, which really blew my mind, was frugality. which reminds me, I think it was McDonald's corporate headquarters that thought it was a good idea to advise its workers on how to manage their money better, the very, very little money that the corporation pays to its workers.
Yeah, McDonald's as well as Walmart were still the number one and two employers of people who use food stamps in the five of the six states that we heard back from. So, you know, their impact on the safety net is not to be understated. You know, we focused on Amazon for our reporting because it's new. You know, we didn't really know this about Amazon before this year, but you know, Walmart and McDonald's are still really disproportionately represented.
Well, that's good to know. Claire, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. We'll post a link to your article in The Intercept from our website. Thanks so much. And also, is there a website for New Food Economy you'd like to give out?
Mm-hmm. It's newfoodeconomy.org. We cover food politics, the environment, pretty much everything you want to know about the food system.
Claire, thanks so much.
Thanks so much for having me.
Claire Brown is a staff writer for New Food Economy, and we've been discussing her latest article, which was published by The Intercept, called Amazon Gets Tax Breaks While Its Employees Rely on Food Stamps, New Data Shows. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can find out more about our program and sign on to our daily newsletter. Also find out more about us at Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.